And good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Always a pleasure. Chuck Swirsky with you until 5 in the morning right here on 670 The Score. We're talking Bears football, a winning Bears football, as the Bears down 17-0 came back and beat the Titans at Soldier Field 24-17. You gotta love it. And you're listening to a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Fireplace and Chimney Authority. And again, Ole Kreutz at 7. You got DJ Moore at 8. Brad Biggs at 9. All with Mully and Haw. Anthony Herron at 11. Dan Weider at noon with Bernstein and Holmes. You got Kurt Warner, Mark Brody, Jalen Johnson. All this coming up with Spiegs and Manley on Monday right here on 670 The Score. And again, we're talking about the Bears, and people are saying, what about the offense? And, you know, the sky is falling. Folks, it's one game. Relax. One game. You don't judge anyone on one game. Good, bad, and different. It's like this thing on Twitter where people are like going crazy. Bloggers going crazy on Caleb Williams. Relax. People are going crazy, Tyler, on Tom Brady. Tom Brady made his Fox debut with Dallas and Cleveland. And they're saying, we need Greg Olsen. We love Greg Olsen. Greg Olsen's great, but he doesn't have the name of Tom Brady, okay? And I know Greg Olsen was whining and complaining about, oh, I can't believe that, you know, I want to be on the big game and I want the, you know, everyone to watch. Hey, I get it. It happens, though. Tom Brady is the GOAT. So when Fox gave him $375 million?
For 10 years.
For 10 years. I mean, that's crazy, but God bless him. It's not like Tom Brady walked into Fox and said, I want $375 million. I mean, when Fox approached Tom Brady and his agent, and they said, here's, we want you to come to Fox, and, you know, you are the face of the National Football League with probably Peyton Manning as, well, Peyton Manning remains the face of the NFL, don't you think, Tyler? I mean, he's on every commercial. You would still think he's playing. I mean, he's got the Manning cast. He's got the Omaha Productions. He's into so many things. I mean, Peyton Manning right now is more popular than probably when he was a player.
That's a great, yeah. I mean, we haven't seen him do as many commercials as we did when he was a player. How about
Mahomes is still Mahomes that, and Kelce.
Yeah, I think that's his
Manning,
own separate.
Those three, don't you think?
Yes. I think Mahomes, too, could be in his own separate category just because he is a current player. And we know nobody is in as many advertisements as him. Travis Kelce's starting to get there, but as the quarterback for the best team in the NFL for the last 5-6 years, it's Mahomes hands down in terms of current players. But I do agree with your take about Peyton Manning.
Yes. And also, you know, where people say you got to be in a big market to appear, you know, on national TV spots. That's not the case. Patrick Mahomes plays in Kansas City.
Exactly.
Okay. And Patrick Mahomes is on so many things.
Peyton Manning, too. Indianapolis and Denver.
Yes.
We don't really consider them in terms of, like, big markets.
Right. I mean, how many commercials do you think Walter Payton, national TV spots, did you know, I know you weren't around, probably you were just a kid.
Unfortunately,
I was here.
Yeah, unfortunately, but he did pass away before I was born.
But I didn't see a lot of Walter Payton back in the day on national TV spots. In fact, the 85 Bears featured McMahon and the Fridge. Fridge was on a lot of spots. He was on, you know, kitchen towel. He was on Coca-Cola. I mean, he was in McDonald's. A lot of different spots for the Fridge. But anyway, I'm just thinking, like, Tom Brady, you know, I'm reading these reports, and they're killing Tom Brady, killing him. You know, he was bland. He really didn't offer anything. It's one game. You don't think Tom Brady knows the game?
Yes.
And he's going to have to make an adjustment. But it's one game.
And again, exactly ties back to Caleb Williams, which we've been talking about for the last 2 hours. And we will continue to talk about, not just for the 3 hours we're on the air, Chuck, but Mully and Haw, Bernstein and Holmes, Spiegs and Manley later this afternoon. It's his first game of his NFL career. If Tom Brady, the best NFL player of all time, has a little bit of hiccups and struggles in his opening game as a broadcaster, Caleb Williams will have hiccups and struggles in not just his first game, but his first overall season as an NFL quarterback. There's going to be some highs, but there's going to be some lows. He's going to learn, but I agree with you. The talent is there, but maybe I was a little too ahead of myself with my personal prediction this week. I did think he was going to throw for 3 touchdowns, but we just have to be patient with him.
I think we all did. And I'll tell you what, I mean, the expectations for this young man are crazy. And I get that. I mean, and I'm not going to be a hypocrite, but I guess I am, because I was expecting more, but I didn't get it. And that's fine. You know what? Because that's on me. That's not on him. And I believe in him. I saw a lot of USC games. I like the way he conducts himself. I think he is a born leader. And one day he will be in Canton, Ohio, period. No question in my mind. And that's how I feel about Caleb Williams. And I'll tell you what, I think Tom Brady's going to be a terrific analyst. And, you know, for him to get just ripped apart by media, radio, TV writers or bloggers or whatever you want to call it, I think it's nonsensical. It's one broadcast. Relax. Give me a break. All right. Should we go to this call and then we'll go to Caleb Williams?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right. Let's go to our first line. Welcome to 670 The Score. How are you?
Hey, Chuck, is this me?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you. You know, I actually woofed the Bears fight song for tickets one time, and you hooked me up with my dad on the harmonica.
Well, there you go. Back in the day.
Anyways, I'm with you on Caleb and, like, being patient, you know. But I think part of what makes it so hard to swallow in a blue-collar town like Chicago is just his Hollywood personality. You know, like, we've seen him in Dr. Pepper commercials.
What's wrong with that? Just because you see Caleb Williams before he arrived in Chicago on national commercials, I mean, it's a different landscape now in college football. I mean, you got the quarterback at Texas now in those Dr. Pepper commercials. So, I mean, this is 2024 now, and it's not turning back to 1970.
I get you, man. Look, who was born in 1982? You know, like,
well, again, I have no problem with Caleb Williams doing national spots when he was at USC. I have no problems if Caleb Williams gets, you know, 10 national spots as quarterback for the Bears. I'm just saying he didn't have a great game today. He was the first to admit that, says he needs to get better. I think the Bears overall can be better on the offensive side. They can probably be better on the defensive side as well. And special teams.
I'm with you. I'm mostly playing devil's advocate. I'm totally with you. I agree. You know, I just think it's a large part of the feedback or the, like, lashing out against him has to do with, you know, the whole painting nails and, like, commercials.
Yeah, but come on. I don't care if he paints his nails, and neither should
either.
The fans.
I don't either.
Fans should know. No. You raise the point. I don't care if he paints his nails to Bears. I don't care. You know what I care about? I care about whether he's a good teammate, his character on and off the field, his production on the field, and how he represents the organization. And I think he's doing just fine. I have no problems. I think Caleb Williams is going to be fantastic, and one day will be in the Hall of Fame. But again, it is one game, just one game. People need to give this man an opportunity to make mistakes and to have success, and he will come out of it, and he will be just terrific. So I appreciate the call.
I mostly agree with you. Like, I think we're mostly on the same page. I think you're putting a lot on his shoulders. Like, you're putting him in the Hall of Fame.
Yes, I am, because I think that's where I think he is headed one day. And yet, I am a proponent of him playing the game, which he loves, He does love the game. There are players who like the game, and there are players who love the game. He loves the game. And so
I totally get that.
I'm expecting him to have a fine rookie year. In fact, I predicted he's going to win the NFC Rookie of the Year. Thank you for the call. Let's go to Gregory. Gregory, where are you calling from? Gregory, you're on 670 The Score. Where are you calling from?
Tonica.
Yes, sir.
And I'm calling. I think that Caleb Williams doesn't look like the guy. And he just, I have the opposition of what you have. He didn't have it. With that many weapons and the offensive line, which they've retooled, did not look good either. I guess
Yeah, you know what? You're going to have to turn down the volume on your car. So, again, I understand what you're saying about the offensive line. They got to do some things with the offensive line, and they're going to address that.
They're supposed to retool that, and I don't think that it showed up and showed out.
Okay, well, they're going to have to address that, and they will. In the case of Caleb Williams.
What do you think about Swift, though?
You said, quoting now, Gregory, you said Caleb Williams, quote, I don't think he's the guy. How can you base that?
Like
how can you say that on one performance? One game, his first game ever, and you're saying he's not the guy. I want to hear from you why you think that way.
I think they should have put all the weapons that they did around him. They should have put them around Justin Fields. Should have never got rid of him.
Okay. Well, I appreciate the call. Thank you. And again, the evaluation of the Bears management and the football minds, these people led by the GM, they sat down and took a look at Justin Fields' skill set. They looked at his abilities as a quarterback to lead a ball club from point A, not only to point B, but to point C. And C means championship. And in their estimation, they determined Caleb Williams was a better long-term fit. I agree with that. That's not a knock on Justin Fields. I love Justin Fields. Anyone who listened to our programming last year knows how much I respect him as a man and as a player. I hope he does wonderful things for Pittsburgh. But having said that, I would still make that decision 10 out of 10 to bring in Caleb Williams. Thank you. Appreciate it. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony, where are you calling from on 670 The Score?
Park. How are you, Chuck?
Good, Anthony.
I wanted to basically agree with your observation about Caleb Williams. And the point that I wanted to make was Walter Payton, in his first game, had a minus 6 yards.
Yeah, that was against Baltimore, right?
I don't remember. Against whom he played, but I remember that, and I seem to recall that Walter Payton had a fairly decent career.
Yeah, just a little bit of one. And I mean, some of the quarterbacks we named that struggled in their first NFL start as quarterback range you from John Elway to Terry Bradshaw to Troy Aikman. They went on to have a great, again, you can't judge people on one game.
Absolutely.
And for that matter, in life. I mean, you go into work, and let's say you go into a brand new job, brand new people, brand new everything, and you go into your first day, and you're looking around, and you are overwhelmed. You're seeing and hearing and meeting people for the first time, and you're just trying to get through that day. Well, it's a blur.
I do want to say one other thing. I've followed your career from the beginning, from different stations, and I've always been a fan of yours. I especially love your character as a human being, and thank you for everything that you've done over the years.
Well, I appreciate that. In all honesty, I will never take credit for anything because I don't deserve it. It's the people around me, the people that I work for, that have provided food on the table for myself, my family, and whatnot. So, you know what? It's all a blessing from God, and I give him all the credit.
Yes,
but I
sir.
Also want to thank people for believing in me. And that's why it's important when we start talking about athletes or coaches that we are not quick to judge them. that let them be who they are and be the best version of who they are and let this thing unfold organically, because Caleb Williams is going to be a superstar in this city.
He will own this city. 100%.
He's going to own this city along with Connor Bedard. Those two kids are going to be great. And for the Sky, and, you know, whether it's going to be, you know, Angel Reese, whomever, all I can tell you is let's support these young people instead of tearing them down.
Give them a chance, yes. Absolutely. Thank you, sir. Thank you for taking my call.
All right, Anthony, be well. Thank you. All right, again, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767. Tyler, do you want to do a commercial break and then we're here from Caleb Williams? What do you want to do now?
We can go to a quick break and then we can crank out a nice long segment here afterwards.
Yeah, because we've been talking a lot about Caleb Williams, and you might as well hear from the Rook out of the USC ball club. And we're going to take a break. We'll have more, and then we're going to take your calls way, way, way into the show until 5, and then Dusty will come by with a recap of what's going on in the NFL baseball. By the way, we have Cubs tonight taking on the Dodgers. Cubs are 5 out of the third and final wild card. You got Atlanta and the Mets tied for the third spot in the wild card run. Maybe the Cubs can just, you know, have one more good push. Dodgers rotation is a mess. Then they go to Colorado, and Colorado is Colorado. And then you got some winnable teams coming up. Although I will say this, Oakland is the real deal. They've really turned it around since the All-Star break. They have what? Do they have either the best record in the American League since the break or close to it?
They're right there. They're fighting. Yep. Last year they were not, they weren't this year's White Sox, but they were the worst team in the American League. But you see the turnaround there, Chuck. And for a team that's obviously going through a change next year, for the next few years, they're going to be playing in a minor league ballpark. They haven't given up. And we'll stick with that for the theme of the day for the Bears.
Yep.
Don't give up. Nope. 17-0. Game's not over.
Nope. And by the way, the Bears do win the football game. Thank you very much.
It is a Victory Monday.
Yes, Victory Monday right here on the home of the Bears fans, 670 The Score. And we are booming into 50,000 watts of Bears conversation. And Texter 773 says, I truly believe these Bears fans are direct descendants of people who just ridicule anything. And, you know, again, here it is. Here it is. Game one. They did not play well offensively. No one is sugarcoating that they did, including the quarterback, including the head coach, saying we got to get back to work. We have to work on it. We will work on it. You know, defense did a great job. Special teams, with the exception of the Jones, you know, a misplay. But special teams was great. Santos, fantastic kicker. Okay, so we got all that in place, and the Bears win the game. So, to me, I'm looking at the big picture, and I'm looking at yesterday, and you got to celebrate a win. I've never met a coach who said we won, and he's walking out to the car after the game with his head down. I mean, really, I've done this for close to 5 decades now. I became a professional broadcaster at 21 when I graduated from school. I have been around so many coaches, Hall of Fame coaches, great coaches, mediocre coaches, horrible coaches. I've never seen a coach after a win like be down and depressed. They may say, we got to work on some things, but you never, ever, ever apologize for winning a game, ever. You know, you don't. So we're going to take a break, and then we'll come back.
You play to win the game.
Yes, you play to win the game. Absolutely, 100%. We're going to take a break. More calls. Caleb Williams coming up next right here on 670 The Score. And welcome back. We are live on 670 The Score. Local programming, Chicago style, on the number one sports talk show in the great city of Chicago, 670 The Score. We're here talking Bears. We're talking NFL. We're with you until 5. We got Mully and Haw. We have a ton of guests as the Bears, down 17-0, come back and beat the Tennessee Titans 24-17. And again, we'll get to your calls in a moment. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. And it's going to be great hearing from not only players, but also fans. Commentary right here throughout the day leading up to the game on Sunday at Houston. It's a primetime Sunday night ball game. NBC will be on the air after the ball game until 5 in the morning next week. C.J. Stroud, Mixon, Diggs, I mean, you name it, they are flat out loaded. It's going to be a great game. Tyler Farengol is our producer tonight. Tyler, do we have any update on that game as far as I know it's early. It's Monday morning at 2:25 in the morning. Any word yet on week two?
Yeah, I think honestly to answer that, there's never too early for some odds considering both teams have a win in the bank already. Per ESPN bet right now, Chuck, the Texans are listed as 6.5-point favorites, and the over-under for the game is 45.5.
Hmm. So again, I don't gamble. I'm not a betting guy, so I understand what the 6.5 is. So the 45, what do you think? Is that probably based on the Bears' offense from today, right?
I would think, and the 6.5 probably too, because I mean, Houston did beat a Colts team yesterday that was on the brink of also making the playoffs, and I think obviously you always have that previous week in mind of, you know, the Bears' offense wasn't up to par, up to standard, so the spread is a little bit in favor of the Texans, but it could be a good opportunity for the Bears to prove some people wrong. You know, hey, we won by a touchdown last week, our offense was bad, but we're going to amp up our game for, again, no disrespect to the Titans, a better opponent as of last year and this year with the Houston Texans.
Yes. So Caleb Williams, 29 attempts, completed 14 of 29 for 93 yards. No picks, no touchdowns. So, again, not a productive afternoon for Caleb Williams, but nonetheless, Caleb Williams was very poised with the media after the game.
Hello, everybody. How's it going?
Caleb, what's your evaluation of the offense's play, especially when the defense wasn't shining as best as it did?
I would say offensive play. Obviously, we didn't perform how we wanted to. We want to be the most efficient team out there, you know, myself included. Didn't perform the way that I wanted to. I missed a few passes that I normally don't miss, all of these other things. And so I think there's small things that always lead up to big things, make those moments and things like that a lot bigger. They make games a lot closer, just the small things, whether it's a pass play that I had to DeAndre Swift in the flat. That I missed a little bit in front of him, whether it's missing DJ a little bit on that in route on the backside, a little bit right in front of him, all these small moments that happened throughout the game, that felt like I was in the right place, the right time, and I would say I was seeing it well, just missed and misfired, and placing the ball where I wanted to, you complete a few of those. Dre down the sideline, on the left sideline, they end up going cover zero, end up missing him on a different page and things like that. So I think that was the name of the game for today for the offense. It's just not been the same page passing wise. And then, run game, we'll be better. Obviously, it's great to get this first win. We're all excited. We went to the locker room, celebrate. I sat down, enjoyed the moment. And just watching all the guys celebrate, understand that I need to be better, I will be better, and then just taking in the first win. It's unbelievable.
I presume you haven't played a game this frustrating offensively ever in your life.
No, I have. I have. It was not too far down the road. I hate that you bring it up, but no, it wasn't UCLA. Kind of same defense, but not UCLA. It was the green and gold team or blue and gold team that Cole Kmet plays for or played for. It was a frustrating game. But the most important thing is that and it shows a bunch of the personality of this team. I would say the fight. The resiliency that we had, You know, the like when Coach got into the locker room, he got into the locker room and first thing he said was, you know, guys, we don't, you know, this past how much ever time that we had, you know, when we got into the locker room, I think it was around 15 minutes, we got in there and Coach was like, guys, the most teams that I've been on, all these other things, you know, y'all walked in here and said to each other that, no, we're not going to lose this game. We're going to go out there. We're going to keep fighting. We got this. We got this. And we weren't shaming on anybody. We weren't, you know, defense not, you know, being on offense, all these other things. And so, you know, it shows his personality, how much everybody believes in ourselves, the Chicago Bears. Defense believes in offense. Offense believes in defense, special teams, and so forth. And so, you know, we're great to get this win. Happy to get this win. Celebrating the locker room. It was pretty cool. First time celebrating in here.
You said you don't care about stats as long as you win.
Yeah, don't care about stats. I feel great. I'll be honest with you. I feel great. I understand that obviously the stats weren't, you know, where I wanted them to be and things like that because I want to go out there and perform and to the best of my ability and, you know, didn't do that today. And so, you know, we're going to get better tomorrow. We got this little period, you know, these next 15 hours or so, and then, you know, you reset. You know, you get ready for Houston next week. And so, you know, we're going to enjoy this win. I'm going to go dinner with my family, hang out with them. And then from there, get back into it and get ready to go. We're going to be better next week.
What's your vantage point on Tyreek's pick six? Where were you at that point? Just take us through that whole series.
Yeah, so I was actually I was on the bench with the coaches. And I actually called it out before, weirdly enough. I was sitting next to Ryan, and I tell Ryan this is gonna be a pick. Weirdly enough it happened and he took it down the sideline, got up, cheered, got the 2-point, you know, to put us ahead and things like that. You know, it was awesome to be able to watch that. Kinda lost my voice towards the end of the game. Cheering on my guys, and so it was awesome. It was great, you know, defense for what they did today. 17 points in the first half is enough, but to be able to come back out in the second half and shut them out is unbelievable. So we got a great team, you know, great brotherhood building here, and we're gonna keep going.
Was the speed of the game what you thought it would be today?
Yeah, it was. I saw things well. I was, you know, a few passes that you know may have been dropped, may have been missed. You know, I think it was just miscues, but speedy game wise, it didn't, I would say, affect or change much. I think the miscues made it look that way, but miscues, misfires, all these other things, a little bit of frustration for not executing. But other than that, no.
You kind of mentioned it with the pick, but you faced this defense for like the past week, however long you've been in camp.
Yep.
Like watching them on the other side against Levis
Committed. Yeah, Keenan and all of us, we always say that, you know, we can't wait to watch these guys go out there because we know how good they are. We can't wait to watch these guys go out here and, you know, do their thing. And obviously it shows, you know, the brotherhood bond that they have. They've built over the past couple of years. The guys have been playing here and obviously a couple of the new guys, you know, Ryan Poles and Coach and everybody's done a great job getting all these guys here. But, you know, the guys go out there and execute the way they do and the way they did. We couldn't wait. And, you know, it shows you all their hard work that they put in.
In your career, when you bounced back from a disappointing performance,
yep.
Where have you found that strength in yourself? And does that apply here at the NFL level as well?
Yeah. So I think it applies whether it's a win or loss. You know, you expect yourself to play a certain way. You expect yourself to go out there and perform a certain way, to make passes, whether it's just, you know, rather a routine pass or whether it's just a, you know, an insane kind of whatever the case may be kind of play. And so, you know, that didn't happen today. And so, you know, it's enough motivation for me. You know, we're going to, you know, somebody else's home this week too. You know, it's enough motivation for me to go out there, get better this week, and make sure that you know, I perform differently next week.
Several times in your career in college, high school, where you've carried a team, where you've outscored the other team.
Yep.
What's it like just to wrap your mind around the situation where the defense and special teams put up a lot of points today and just be part of this, you know, whole team effort?
Yeah, that's NFL for you. You know, it's hard to win in this league. And, you know, to have a team like this, to have offense, defense, special teams, players, coaches, all these, you know, all these people here, you know, it's the NFL. And so it's hard to win this league. We're excited, but you know, we got a lot more to, you know, get better at, a lot more to, you know, progress and you know, get ready for this week.
What did you feel emotionally today, and was it what you expected?
Yeah, emotionally, I was excited. I was really happy to be here, be a Chicago Bear. I was really happy to get out there on the field finally, and you know, get this first game going, and you know. Extremely happy now. Extremely happy when I got to the locker room. You know, we got a lot more to get better at, but to get this win, first win in the books, as a rookie starter QB, you know, for myself is unbelievable, and I'm happy. I'm excited. And I'm, you know, ready to go.
Caleb, it might be too early to ask, but what do you think you learned from this game, or what is going to be your biggest takeaway?
Yeah, I got to go back and watch the film, obviously, and you know, figure that out. But on a deeper level, but. First and foremost is just keep fighting. Understand that the team that I have here with me, you know, riding this battle, riding this journey with me, is the first thing that I learned, and they're unbelievable. And then secondly, I would say getting back in the lab, getting back with the guys, mainly the wide receivers, tight ends, all these other guys, just to make sure that, you know, we're on the same page at the end of the week. Making sure that, you know, we go out there and, you know, when we have these chances, when they want to go cover zero, that we make them pay. And, you know, we didn't do that today, but we're going to get better in the future and the near future. So thank you, and go Bears.
All right, that is Caleb Williams. How can you not be impressed with Caleb Williams? Wow. All right, we want to hear from you. And you just heard from Caleb Williams. Tell me about what you took out of Caleb Williams' press conference. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We've gotten a ton of texts, and it ranging from one extreme where they already miss Justin Fields, which is nonsense, to Caleb Williams is going to be just fine, but they've got to open up the playbook. Now, we played one game, so relax. And, you know, I mean, anyone who has gone through sports knows that you don't ever, ever, ever be impetuous and judge players' management quickly. It's almost like in exhibition football or preseason basketball where you go unbeaten and you say, yeah, you know what? Hey, we're unbeaten in the summer league. And then all of a sudden reality turns into the NBA for 82 regular season games. You don't make a judgment on one game or a player has a bad performance. If that was the case, take a look at what Willie Mays did, the great late Hall of Fame player with the Giants. When he was brought up, couldn't buy a base hit. Ryan Sandberg, same thing. After the deal with Philadelphia, comes to the Cubs, could not get a hit. So it happens. So relax. And what you organically want is a player to get better and learn, which he will, and his skill set is terrific. So relax. Exhale. It's going to be fine. 312-644-6767. 312-644-6767. We have 20 minutes before 3 o'clock. We're going to be live until 5 a.m. in the morning. So if you're working the late shift or coming back from a shift, or maybe you're in your car just driving around, or maybe you just can't get to sleep and you got 670 the score on, fantastic. Welcome. I want to hear from you, different angles on the Bears. What play turned it around? What play, in your opinion, turned this game around? What are your predictions for the Bears after watching this ball club today? You can't possibly decide one game whether they're going to win, you know, 10 more, 8 more, whatever the case. I mean, going into the season, I expected the Bears to win 11. and I'm still taking them to win 11 games. The Bears play Houston next Sunday night. The Texans behind C.J. Stroud, 234 in the air. Diggs caught a couple of touchdown passes. He was traded in the offseason, of course, from Buffalo. Joe Mixon coming over from Cincinnati, rushed for 159 yards. The late game tonight in Detroit, the place was going absolutely crazy, and the Lions won it in overtime, 26-20. The Commanders, with Jaden Daniels, LSU quarterback, of course, second player taken in the draft, he rushed for 88 yards, went 17-24 in the air for 184, but the Buccaneers, 37-20 over Washington. The Cowboys beat the Browns 33-17. Prescott, before the game, they announced that he has signed a four-year, $240 million deal, making him the highest-paid player in the history of the National Football League. Deshaun Watson continues, and during the course of the game, I'm thinking, like, I wonder if Cleveland's second-guessing themselves for picking up Watson, not only what happened off the field. He was banged up, of course, last year with his shoulder. He was sacked six times today. Seattle won. Chargers behind Jimmy Harbaugh in his first game as head coach of Los Angeles, 22-10 over the Raiders. Vikings beat a pathetic Giants ball club, 28-6. Saints, 47-10 over the Panthers. Panthers, Bryce Young threw two interceptions. He went 13 of 30 in the air for 161 yards. Patriots beat the Bengals in Cincinnati, 16-10. Bills, 34-28 over the Cardinals. The fourth player taken in the draft, Marvin Harrison, one reception, 4 yards.
He had as many yards as the number he was picked in the draft, Chuck.
Well, there you go. There you go.
It all fits.
Was May play today?
No, so Jacoby Brissett is actually the starter for the Patriots.
Yes.
I have a feeling we'll see Drake May at some point during the season, but not yet.
Okay. Well, yeah, and you know, I think what we're seeing is a lot of teams want to make sure that if they put a rookie quarterback in place, he's ready. Now, in the case of Caleb Williams, he's ready. I don't think there's any doubt about that.
And to your point here, Chuck, the opposite ends of the spectrum here with the Patriots and the Bears, the Patriots do not have the weaponry to support a quarterback trying to be successful right away. That team is winning, I think, 3, maybe 4 games this year. I don't know what the Bengals were doing today. Obviously, something didn't work, but that Patriots team is not more than a 5-win team. The Bears, on the other hand, I mean, we could just sit and name and talk about the weapons that they have on the offensive side of the ball and break down how they could be used and how they could fool defenses. This is the kind of situation you want to put a rookie quarterback in, Chuck. I know the offensive line is so-so, but the group of skill players they have is one of the top 5 in the NFL.
Yes.
And I'm not mincing words when I say that.
How many franchises do you think Keenan Allen would be the number one receiver on a club?
Oh, way more than half.
Okay.
The Bears have 2 top 15 receivers at this very moment. I still think Keenan Allen missed 5 games last year and he set his career high in receptions. That's pretty darn good.
Yes.
And DJ Moore, fourth most reception yards in a Bears season in franchise history. His personal high, he never got over 1,300 until last season. And with more consistency at the quarterback position, obviously that was a one-off year with Fields, I think his production is only going to go up. Now, it may not be the 1,300 because of the other guys around him, but you're only going to see his level of play rise due to the fact that the defense has to worry about Kmet, Keenan Allen, Rome Odunze, DeAndre Swift.
Did you mention
Swift.
Kmet?
Yes.
My man, the tight end. Again, only 93 yards in the air by Williams today. 11 targets for Allen. He caught 4 balls, 29 yards. DJ Moore, 8 targets, 5 receptions, only 36 yards. Let's see. I'm going down.
How many times was DJ Moore targeted today?
DJ Moore was targeted
8 times.
Okay. Cuz really,
so he and Allen got targeted 19 times. All right.
You know a really interesting stat I saw last year, Chuck? DJ Moore had the lowest drop rate percentage of any wide receiver or any pass catcher in the NFL last year.
Well, he let one go today or yesterday.
That, yes, that was the one. And then I think the couple of others weren't his fault, but he's almost money every single time he gets thrown the football.
So all I'm saying is, and again, I want to hear from you at 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767, that you have to keep things in perspective, that you don't go two up or two down. And I think good organizations, GMs, head coaches, players understand that it's the first game of the year. Now, in the case, for example, of Green Bay, you've lost your quarterback, hopefully not for long, maybe anywhere between 3-4 weeks. Who knows? I'm not a doctor. They're going to have an update today from Green Bay on Love, but they're going to have to start thinking big picture here and what they're going to do, because there's a quarterback right now that wants to play, but he wants to play on his terms, Ryan Tannehill. And that would be a good fit right now in Green Bay, even when Love returns, to have Tannehill as your backup quarterback, but he wants to be paid and he doesn't want to come in to be a Band-Aid. I think he wants to be a number one quarterback. And I'm not sure if I'm Green Bay, would I make that move? I probably would if the price is right, with the understanding, of course, that once Love is fully, and I'm talking about fully healed from his injury, because you don't want to fool around with an MCL, that that he goes back to being a backup.
And this is another reason why the Bears need to absolutely pounce on this first half of the schedule, is because we focused on it a lot. 6 of their final 8 games are against the NFC North. But in reality, Chuck, we know the Lions are a really, really good team. We know the Vikings are always going to be there. We are going to talk about the Packers more than any other team in this division in terms of like getting over the hump or the Bears beating them. They need to take advantage of the winnable games on the front half of their schedule. Now that you said, and now that Jordan Love is out for the next, I would say probably month and a half, the time is now to strike, to get ahead of the count. It's out of your control that he got hurt. You have to take advantage, be ahead of the sticks when you play Green Bay, when Love is back. You need morale on your side right now.
Okay,
you have to win games.
I'm looking at the schedule. So you got the Texans, tough game at Houston Sunday night. Then on the road the following week, a noon game against the Colts. I think that's a winnable game.
Absolutely, that's a winnable game.
And then you come home with the Rams. Tough game, but winnable.
I originally had the Bears losing that game, but I can absolutely see them winning that game as well.
Okay. Then you got the Panthers at home. Definitely a dub.
Definitely.
Period. Jaguars at home. Tough game, but they're going to win that game.
You think they're going to win overseas
in
London?
Yes.
I think they're going to win that game as well.
And by the way, that's 8:30 start time. Because the game is in London.
8:30 in the morning.
Yes.
Rise and shine, Bears fans. October 13th, I believe, is the date.
And then they go on the road, but two winnable games on the road, Commanders and Cardinals.
I agree.
Okay. Patriots at home, W.
W.
Period. Packers at home.
Mm.
Let's see what the rosters look like as far as health. I mean, we are talking about November 17th. And then they've got the Vikings at home. Another tough game, but you're at home. Probably win that game.
You should probably beat Sam Darnold. They have some weapons on offense, but you should be able to beat Sam Darnold going up with him going up against this Bears defense.
At Detroit, very tough game.
Thanksgiving, yeah, that's a tough one.
At San Francisco, another tough game.
Yes.
And then, let's see, you've got...
it looks like at Minnesota
at
on
Minnesota,
Monday Night Football.
Tough game. Home with the Lions, tough game, but maybe you can get that one.
For sure.
And then with Seattle at home, W.
I agree.
And then at Green Bay, again, depending on the rosters, what they look like because of health. So all I'm saying is I agree with you, but in the big picture of things, this was one game. And Caleb Williams has promised he will improve, he will be better, the offense will be better. I'm sure the coaching staff was going to take a hard look at if they haven't already after the game, because I'm sure in their office after the game, before they unwind and go into their cars respectively and have family time with the people and dinner and whatnot, they're probably already talking about what they're going to do at center and their offensive line and what do we do with Velus Jones and all those things that they're going to have probably talks in about 3 or 4 hours when they arrive at Alice Hall at 6 or 7 in the morning, or if not earlier.
I think that'll be definitely a question that gets asked to Matt Eberflus tomorrow. He's slated to speak tomorrow early afternoon. I can very much imagine that will be one of the things that gets asked right off the top. You know, what played into the decision to on-the-spot bench Velus Jones? We know what it is, but we want to hear from him. And is this permanent? Is DeAndre Carter the kick returner from now on, or was that just a one? Is Velus getting another chance? You can only have so many chances in the National Football League.
Yep. Okay. Well, we've got lines open, 312-644-6767, 312-644-6767, and that is 670 The Score. We're going to take a break. We'll have more in a moment right here on 670 The Score, and then we'll go to your phone lines, 312-644-6767.